Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, today's daf is daf Mem Zayin. We're starting a brand new perek, perek Chamishi, Zok the Mishnah, Hitziu Loi Es HaKafi Es HaMachta. The Kohen Gadol is now getting ready to do one of the major Avodas Hayoyim, and that's the Chafinas HaKtoiris inside Lefnai V'Lefnim in the Kodesh Kadoshim. And therefore, his assistant, perhaps the Skan, came and gave him the Kaf and the machta. The kaf is the ladle in which the Kohen Gadol is going to enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim with all of the ktoiris. Ktoiris is incense. The esa machta, machta is the machta poshipshat, which is full of the coals that he needs to take in with him to the Kodesh Kedoshim to burn the incense. Now this Mishnah sounds a little strange. Hoitzilah, the giving him the kaf and the machta. Sounds like it's an empty kaf, an empty machta for the Kohen Gadol to use now. And as soon as we start the Gemara is going to ask, wait, in the previous Mishnah that we had in the previous Perek, we said that the Kohen Gadol had already used the machta. In fact, it was a very special machta. Right. It wasn't the daily machta, it was a gold machta. And he used that to go and collect 3 kavin of Gecholim from the Mizbeach. For those of you that are looking back, it's Mem Gimel Amid Beis in the long Mishnah there. What Brother Shai is referring to when he says there's a machlokes is that throughout the year is a machlokes whether or not the regular machta that they used to take off the Gecholim had the volume of 4 kavin or of a so'a, which is 6 kavin, and then they transferred the gecholim from the silver machta into a gold machta, and because the gold machta only held a volume of 3 kavin, either 1 or 3 kavin of gecholim fell to the floor and was swept away into the amma, which was the amma samayim in the azar. However, on Yom Kippur, because of the chusha, the Kohen Gadol only used 1 machta of gold to go and shovel out the colt. And what did he do with that machta? He wasn't holding it the whole time, but rather he put it down on the roived horavi shel azara, like we learned in the Mishnah back on Mem Gimel Amid Beit. And if that's the case, the kasha is, what are we talking about, that they're handing him now the machta? We're not handing him. He already had the machta in hand, and he already put it down, and he's waiting to go and take it with him. So, in Nir Tashem, we'll see more about this in the Gemara. Continuing the Mishnah. So now, Chofan Malei Chofnav, he took his hands, and he inserted them in the Ktores, and Chofnayim means handfuls, putting in 2 hands into the Ktores. There were 3 mana of Ktores. Put his 2 hands in, and he filled them up to the brim. And now what did he do with that ktoiris? He transferred them, he put them into that ladle. Why didn't he just leave them in his hands? Because the Kohen Gadol is normal in the sense that he only has 2 hands. He doesn't have 3 hands. And the Kohen Gadol needs to take in both the gecholim and the ktoiris. So if he's going to keep his 2 hands full of Ktoiris, he won't have anywhere to go and take any way of taking in the Machta with the Gecholim. So therefore he transfers the Maloi Chofnayim of Ktoiris into the Kaf. Kaf is a large ladle, and he holds that in 1 hand. Now, how big is the Maloi Chofnayim? It's not 1 size fits all, but rather if the Kohen Gadol has large hands, then there's a larger quantity of Ktoiris. If he has small hands, then it's a smaller quantity of Ktoiris. The Kach Oysa Midos, and so was its measure. What does that mean, so was its measure? We're going to have 2 pshatim in Mir Tashem in the Gemara. Finally, the Kohen Gadol is now ready to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Not less a machta b'imina, he takes the machta with the gecholim in his right hand, the esakaf and the ladle full of the ktoris in his left hand, the smiley, and he walks towards the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Gemara is going to ask, l'choira, this is the wrong procedure, because what's more important, the ktoris or the gecholim? The ktoris, obviously, that's the incense. The gecholim is just the hachana, the fire, that allows the incense to go up toward Shemayim. So you would think that there's a greater significance, a greater importance, vis-a-vis the ktoris, than the gecholim. So he should be taking l'choira, the kaf, with the ktoris in his right hand, and the machta with the gecholim in his left hand. And the Gemara of Shem is going to address that issue.
When they bring him the kaf and the machta, so he's where is he standing there? Just in terms, I just want to get the geography.
He's presumably standing in the Azorah between Ulam Vlam Mizbech, but the Mishnah doesn't specify.
And Chafim Lo Chafnav, the Torah.
Presumably it's done in the Azorah.
Thank you.
We may have a different learning in another couple of days, because in Yetz Hashem,
details are being added.
We're going to deal a lot about the details on Yetz Hashem Memches, Memtes, Nun. So, but as far as our Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is silent, and the presumption is that he's standing in the Azorah.
Thank you.
Zok Digmar. Machto, you're telling me that they took out a kaf and a macht and handed to the Kohen Gadol, that they gave him a kaf for purposes of a ladle to put in the Ktoris, that I understand. But they took out a macht and a tonalei, or the Bach adds, ha tonalei. We already learned back on the previous Mishnah, on Men Gimel Amid Beis, Voshtei Dot in the Mishnah, not to listen machto, he already got the macht in his hand. Voloroshim Mizbech, he was already on top of the Mizbech. V'choysen, he already went and shoveled out the Gecholim. The urine already came down. What are they handing him, a new machta? No, he already had it, and he used it, and he put it down on the roiver of the. So what's this all about? Everything why the word machta is used here for two separate terms. Hasam, that mishnah that you just referred to, it's about the machta de gecholim. Yeah, that's the fire pan with the gecholim. V'hacha, here we're talking about a different type of machta, which is a machta de k'toyres, a machta that was full of k'toyres. The sign, like we learned in the braisa, hitziu loy kaf reikon milishka sakelim. They handed over to the Kohen Gadol this empty ladle that was taken out of lishka sakelim, but they took out a separate machta, not with kecholim, a machta gedusha shel ketores, a machta that was piled, that was piling with. It was really full of ketores. Heaped with Ketoris. Melishkas Beis Avtinas, Lishkas Beis Avtinas, which as you know, Beis Avtinas was the Mishpocha that was in charge of manufacturing the Ketoris in the Beis Hamikdash. Anyway, so therefore when we started off our Mishnah, they took out a Kaf and a Machta. The Kaf was the ladle for the Ketoris, and the Machta was a Machta that was full of Ketoris, and now the Mishnah reads so beautifully, because after they gave him the Kaf and the Machta, now he took his hands, and Chofim Leichofnav and Noit Masim Letoich, he put his hands into the Machta, took out now heaping, or not necessarily heaping, but two handfuls of the ketores, eventually to go and transfer that to the kaf. As the Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, chofem lechofnav from that machta, milishka, I'm sorry, benois letoicha kaf, and then he transferred it over to the kaf into the ladle. And the Mishnah told us right to how large were the chafina, just depended on the Kohen Gadol's hands, whether they were larger or smaller.
So the machta in the final line of the Mishnah is the machta of Gecholim. The machta in the first line of the Mishnah is the machta of Ketores.
That's correct. Exactly correct.
You'll soon find out.
Kaf b'yamikipurim lamali. What does he need the kaf for at all? After all, meloi chofnav. The hevi omer achmona. What does it say in the pasuk? So we look now at number one or aleph. V'lokach meloi hamachta. Gach le'esh on top. Me'ala mizbeach. The Kohen Gadol takes in a machta full of gachli eish, the cholim, the hot coat. Mi'al mizbeach mafnei Hashem, that means the mizbeach ha-chitzon. He takes those coats. Umaloi chofnav, and he has his hands full. Ketoris samim daka, of the ketoris. The haven base of the price, because he brings it to the... I don't see a word about a calf. I see a machta full of gecholim. I say umaloi chofnav, of vos mit a calf. So Frank took me more yet. Where is the Torah thing about a kaf? Melechofnav behavior, Rachmana. Fill up his hands and bring in the Torah. Says the Gemara, theoretically you're right. A mission to Leyafshir, but it's a practical impossibility. The Hechin Avid. How should he go and accomplish this? The Ayil, Bahadim the Ayil, should the Kohen Gadol go in twice? Now why would he go in twice? Because he has to first bring in one of the two. Let's take the Gecholim as number one. He's going to have to bring those in and put them down somewhere. And then he has to go and bring in the incense. He can't bring them simultaneously because he has his hands full. How is he going to go and take the Gecholim? He's going to put it on his head? I mean, he only has two hands. And the Gemara, the Torah says, Havo achasim rachmanet. It says in the Pasuk, he takes the Maloy HaMachta, he takes the Maloy Chofnov, the Heili. It doesn't say he goes twice. Havo achasim rachmanet, v'leshtei havois. So what are you going to tell me? Nishkele l'ktoiris b'choifnov. You know what, maybe? I have a good answer. Fill up the two hands with ktoiris. Since he had people helping him out, presumably the Skan or the Rosh Beisav, who took out the Kaf and Machta, let them, one of them, go and take the machta full of gecholim, v'nachzel machta Allah, let them put it on top of his hands, not directly on his hands, chas v'shalom will burn his hands, but in his hands he's full of the ktoiris, put the machta on top of that ktoiris v'leil, and of course be careful, chas v'shalom, he shouldn't burn himself, and he should go in that way, and you'll have havo achas. Says the Gemara, theoretically that would work. However, kimati hasam, as the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kadoshim, heichilevit, who's going to remove the machta on top of the ktoiris inside his hands? If he could take his assistant along, that would be great, but he can't. Nobody else is allowed to be there.
Wouldn't it also ignite the ktoiris? The heat would transmit through the golden machta, and it would start to...
Part. Maybe we can, Nishkalei b'shinei. So I have a good idea. Maybe when we get into the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Kohen Gadol should remove that machta from on top of the ktoiris by taking it with his teeth. V'nachsei l'machta, and then put it down. Frank Timara, come on. Hashlafnei melech bos v'dom einois in kain. Were you bringing this machta to a regular melech bos v'dom, would you go and carry the machta in your teeth? Pasnish. Lefnei melech malchei kodesh baruch olachas kam v'kama. And therefore that is not an etzer that he should remove the machta with his teeth. And hilchach leyafsha. So there's no other etzer. So what is the etzer? The etzer is to go and transfer the two handfuls of ktoiris to the calf, and to take the macht in one hand, and to take the calf in the other hand. So to work, since I have no eitzah of leaving the ktoiris in his hands and taking the macht at the same time, so maybe I should transfer back the chafini ktoiris to a second machta, or the original machta. What's that? It's a calf? So Rashi quotes the pasuk that we learned last week at the end of Parshas Nosei 12 times. Kaf achas maleya ketoires. Rashi, the third of the narrow lines. So therefore the ketoires went into the kaf achas, like we find in the Chumash, like we find in the Torah by the Nesim. Good. Not as a machti min as a kaf the smile freak the imara yetziva ba'ara v'giyora b'shmei shemaya. This is an expression you find a few times in Shas. The word yetziva means the full fledged citizen. He's ba'ara, he's down below. V'giyora means the newly arrived immigrant, refugee, b'shmei shemaya. Should he be all the way up in the heavens? In other words, a person who happens to be a natural citizen who's been living here for many, many years, he should be entitled to certain rights and that pertinent to being a citizen. And the Giyor, the person who's a newly new refugee or a new immigrant that just came to our shores, okay, he's going to have to climb up the ladder to get to the status of the yetziva of the citizen. What the Gemara means to say is, after all, what's the important one? The important one is the kaf. That's full of the ktoiris. Shouldn't that be in the right hand? And the machta, which is full of the gecholim, which is important, but it doesn't rise to the level of the incense, that should be in the left hand. And for the Gemara, zumaruba bezumu etes, because the three kavod of the gecholim is larger than the volume of the ktoiris. The assumption is that the average kohen's hands hold less than three kavod. As well as points out Rashi, Gecholim also happen to be heavier than Ketoiris. So therefore, for the combination of those two reasons, as well as we'll see in the Gemara another two lines, it's also hot, which is what Brother Barry was pointing out a couple of minutes ago. So therefore, for all of those combined reasons, we're going to have the Kohen Gadol carry it in his right hand, and carry the kaf with the Ketoiris in the left hand. And even in the case where the two are the same, meaning that the amount of ketoiris equals, and as we'll see in a moment, perhaps exceeds the amount of the gecholim, and so therefore maybe we should switch it around under those circumstances. Ukimaisid Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. As we'll see shortly, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis had gigantic proportions in his body. We don't know exactly how much, but we know that it was in fact even more than the amount of the Gecholim. His two hands held 4 kavan, or 3.5 kavan, or perhaps more of Ketores. Nevertheless, we don't go and switch it around. And now we have two Girsois here. Our Gemara has the Girsa, as you see, Zu Chama V'Zu Tzenenis. And therefore what the Gemara is telling us is, even though under normal circumstances, I should say, that when you have a person like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, who is a giant, at least in his hands, it has to be, if he's a giant in his hands, the rest of the body also had to be a giant, otherwise he would not be proportionate, and that would be a balmum. But it doesn't say he was a giant, but he had very large hands. Okay, so Zokti Yomara, under those circumstances, the Chayr of Yishmol ben Kimcha should have taken the Ketores in the right hand, and he should take the Gicholim in the left hand. However, Zuchama v'zu tzoynenes, this one is hot, and this one is cold. And we're assuming that the Kohen Gadol was a righty, and therefore he has greater power in his right hand, so we want him to be able to go and take the hot colds in the right hand and the cold ketores in the left hand. That Chas V'Shalom, he shouldn't go and burn himself, because he does it in reverse. Maybe he won't have enough strength to carry the hot colds in the left hand, and Cholila, he might get burnt. So that's our Girsa. However, the Bach takes out the word Zucham of Zutanenes, and he points out that Rashi doesn't seem to be Gores, he doesn't bring them. And so therefore, we have to relearn the Gemara briefly. The Gemara asked the Kasha, Ah, Yitziv Ba'a V'Ger B'Shmei Shamaya, why don't we have the incense in the right hand? Why do we have it in the left hand? Evdemar Zumarub of Zumu'atas, because typically, generally, normally, the amount of the Gecholim is larger than the amount of the incense. So that's why he takes in the right hand. And then the Gemara says, Afilim is Machishnei and Chavit. And even a situation where they both happen to be the same, or even Kimaster Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, where it's in reverse, which it's even more. Nevertheless, since Bederech Klal, most Kehanim Gedolim, the Gecholim were more than the Ketores, so therefore we go in a sense Basarov, and we just have, even in these extraordinary cases of the Rishmo ben Kimchis, he just follows the normal, regular way of doing it from year to year. If you look at the Rashi, 7-8 lines from the top of the Amud. First Rashi says, Zum Meruba v'zum Mu'atzes, says Rashi Meruba, not only that the Gecholim are more, but also Kveida, they're also heavier, Likach, to go and carry. Tzrichim, for that you need the right hand. V'azmilim v'zman Shishneim Shavim, the Koin Shechofnev Gidoilim, v'choifen Shloishes Kavin, the Koin Gadol's hands are so large that they can even go and collect and contain 3 kavan. So it's exactly the same 3 kavan of the Gecholim, 3 kavan of the Ketores. Afilahachi, kim de beroyv kehanim gedolim Gecholim erubin mechofnav noitel kaf besmoil. Since v'terach klal, in general, that's the case, that roiv kehanim gedolim, the Gecholim are more, so we just follow the normal, regular route as every year. So continuing on the Gemara, since we mentioned Rav Shmuel ben Kimchis, the Gemara is going to say a couple of things. Amar Allah Rav Shmuel ben Kimchis, Sheyachoyfen arbas kavin b'mleichofnav, not 3 but 4. The Oimer, and he would say, you know the reason why? Because kol anoshim zordu v'zored ima olo legak. The reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed me that I should have these large proportions is because all the women, they have zardo. We'll see what zardo means in a minute. The zered iba, but my mother's zered, that was olagag, that went all the way up to the roof. In other words, it went off the charts, off the radar screen. That's how great that zered was. Now, what does zered mean? Tupshat. Ikadi amri ba'arsan, utkarab bar yonison, the amrab bar yonison, amr bichil, arsan yofal chayl, that the word zered or Zardan is similar to Arsan. What do you mean it's similar to Arsan? Back in Masechtas Brochus, we learned that there were 4 different types of farina that were eaten by the people. And if you take a quick look at the Rashi, Ika di Amri, says Rashi, about 12 lines from the top, Hai Zered ba'Arsan kama. When we use the term Zered in the Gemara, we're really referring to a type of farina, a type of cereal. that what? V'yofahu l'choyle, it's very good for people that are not well. Ustam nashim ubareis choyleis. Most women that are pregnant, they are in a sense not as healthy as other women because they're carrying a load and they have to be very sensitive to chas v'sholom not becoming sick. And therefore v'oichleis, so they eat zered v'arsan. Shehein minei machal chitim. These are wheat-based farinas. K'remin b'mesechus brachas, like we learn in brachas. It says in brachas that there are four different levels of farina. You have chilka. Chilka is chiti. Chiti, as we know, that's wheat. The mitbari that have been crushed ba'asisa in such a crushing machine or such a mill. Litrei trei into two. In other words, you took your kernel of wheat or your portion of wheat and you divide it up into two and you cooked it. Tragis is litlas, like the word trio, that you went and, or tripod, that this was also crushed, but it was crushed even more finely, litlatlas, into three, subdivided into three pieces. Zorid was already even more fine, le'arba arba, 4-4. Arasan le'chamish chamish, that was the most refined of all of the cereals. The earlier ones were more coarse, this was much more fine. V'achikam, and therefore what Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas was saying, kol hanoshim u'boris tokn lehem zorid v'arsan li'boris oisan. All of the mu'boris eat these cereals so that they should be healthy, that oisan v'ubrin, as well as their fetuses should be healthy. V'oisan shel imi gavra al kulam, but my mother's was the best one of all, in other words, top quality, and therefore that's the reason why, Baruch Hashem, she did well, and that's why me, the Uber, I did very well as well. So that's one pshat of the word Zered, that this is somewhat synonymous with arisen, a different type of cereal, like we had now in the Rashi. But the Ikadamid is another pshat, that the word Zered is really referring to B'shichvas Zera, to the Zera of his father. I have two psukim in the Torah, and it's another pasuk, not Hami Azreni, but also Vatazreni Chayla Muhammad. The difference between the two psukim is that the first Vatazreni is missing an aleph, the second Vatazreni, it has an aleph in it. And so therefore, why does one have an aleph, and why does one not have an aleph? So the real word, Pashup Shat, is Vatazreni, Vatazreini, Vateazreini, is from a Lashon Ezor Chalotzov, which means that Kodesh Baruch Hu girded me so that I should be strong in a Mulchama, in a war. What's the reason then that the first one, Vatazreini, is missing the Aleph? It's Omer Dovid HaMelech Kodesh Baruch Hu. Dovid HaMelech said before Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, Zeirisani v'Zeirastani. You made me both Zeirisani. The Zeirisani, Rashi says, is from a Lashon Zoreh. Zora is Zayin Vav Reish Hei, which means to winnow. As we know, one of the 39 malachas, not to be confused with Zorea, which is to plant. One of the fifth or sixth malacha is to winnow. Winnow means that you went and you took the tavua, the grain, you took a pitchfork, you threw it up in the air, and then the chaff and the grain would separate as a result of the wind blowing, and especially if you had such a wind blower, wind fan, it would separate the two. So that was called Zora. So what David HaMelech is saying at Kodesh Baruch Hu, you took the tipa of Zera of his father, and you chose, just like Zora goes and you are, it's a form of borer, if you will, you take out the choicest of them, so you took out the choicest. Look at the Rashi in the middle of the Yomit, Ikka the Amri B'shich B'Zera Ka'amar, Shein Tzius Avlat Mikola Tipa, when a man is Mazria, as we know there are thousands, millions, whatever, of molecule cells, whatever the scientists tell us, and that, it's not that entire Zera that is Mazri, that fertilizes the woman's egg, Elman Abir Shaba, but rather one chosen portion of that larger tipa, Zered Loshen Chavile Zrodim, Kalaimar Birur Tipa Shekol Te'imi, Hazered Godal the Ol Legak. The tipa that I was Zocha, that my father gave and was Mazriya into my mother, from that tipa she was able to, with a Kodesh Baruch Hu's help naturally, to take the choicest part of that tipa, and that gave me my strength, as well as my volume, my size. Continuing, Rashi Batazredi Loshen Zora as Gornas Oiren, that's to winnow out the Gornas Oiren, Mevaris, the tipa to go and take out the best. The Zeras Tani, he's our Tani Min Habir Shabbat, that you now gave me the strength and you were mizariz me and you went and girded me with that choicest tipa of zera from the father. So getting back to Agmara, you created me from the choicest tipa of zera, and as a result you gave me that strength now so that I can fight in the mulcham. So Rishmo ben Kimcha says his mother also had the benefit of that zered. He especially uses the term zered to keep it vague and ambiguous, so that you can learn the first pshat that we're talking about farina and cereal, but also it has that connotation that's referring to the shech v'zera of the father. Says the Gemara, Amru Olav Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, Pam Achas Sipre Dvorim Im Arabi Echad Beshuk. There was one time that he had to go and meet an Arab in the marketplace, and this was on Yom Kippur. And some spittle came out of the mouth of the Arab and went on to the beged of the Kohen Gadol of Reb Shmuel ben Kimchis, and therefore he was not able to complete the avodah that day. Apparently Yeshiva was the skan, and he took over for his brother, and he was on that day the Kohen Gadol for Uasa Iman, and therefore Mrs. Kimchis, the mother of Rabbi Shmuel, she saw that day Shnei Kahanim Gedolim B'yem Echad, two Kahanim Gedolim, both serving on the same day. You're wondering why would a Kohen Gadol meet an Arab Dafka on Yom Kippur?
And the Shuk, no less, yeah.
And the answer that is given is that this wasn't just a Stam Arab, it was an Arab king, and it had to be done Dafka on Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol was really had no choice. That's the article brings it from the Eri or another Rishon, that it was an Arab king that he had no choice, he had to meet. And in fact, one of the Mefarshim says that this took place on Yom Kippur evening, in other words, Leil Yom Kippur, so he was now stuck. He wasn't able to avoid it for the rest of the day.
Because a stam goy is says a bazav, and the spill of bazav is mitame b'maga, and but we've gotten on his clothing, we wouldn't have gotten on him.
Yorek hazov batohar, person becomes tame, and the begodim are bottled to the individual, okay. And therefore he becomes tame.
He said it touched his buzzer.
Anyway, so bottom line is the Kohen Gadol was
disqualified.
He could not do the avoid, and therefore his brother took over, and his mother was very, very ecstatic that she had two sons, both Kahanim Gedolim. And in fact, it was a repeat performance on another occasion. V'shuv amru Allah Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, pamachas yotza v'siper im odin echad b'shuk. Again, the same masa, v'nitza tzinur mipiv al b'godav. But instead, Rabbi Shevav, some reason, was no longer there. And v'nichlasi Yosef achiv v'shimishtachtav. He apparently was the backup, and he was the Kohen Gadol for that day. V'ruasa iman shnei Kahanim Gedolim v'yem echad. Once again, the same type of story, but the only difference is not Yeshevov, but it was Yosef.
It's an Adon here instead of an Arab. An Adon is also some type of a royal person.
Exactly. Tanur Rabban, Zok to Brisa.
The Kohen was allowed to go out of the Beis HaMikdash on the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur.
Presumably he didn't just go out to go and take some air, but right. He had it for this type of important purpose. Presumably that would affected the whole government and affected all the Jewish people and all the people. Good. Tanaban, Shiva Banam Hoyulal Kimchas. Kimchas had seven sons. The Kulan Shimsha Bikuna Gdoila, all of them were Kehanim Gdoilam when she was alive, all under these circumstances that we're talking about. Omr Lachacham, the Chacham said to her, Ma Osis, what did you do, Shazachis Lakach, that you were Zoycha to such a bracha? Seven sons. Omr Lahem, so she said to them, I was very, very, very careful that I covered my ears at all time. Even when I was at home, I was careful that the walls of my home should not go and see my uncovered hair. In other words, she had a tremendous mala of tznius. Amrullah, so the Chacham said to her, that's really beautiful. Harbi also came to Ilo. Unfortunately, there are other wonderful from ladies that even though they were also makbid, they were not zocher to these shivabonim that you should have seven sons bikuna gedai. Now, just a couple of points on this. So, number one, the Gemara says that the Chacham told her marois ma'osis shezochas lekach. Obviously, she saw all of these. It wasn't that after she passed away, her seven sons were Kahanim Gedolim, but all the seven sons were Kahanim Gedolim while she was still alive. Now, if one or more of them had passed away and the other brothers took over, that wouldn't be such a tremendous chus. After all, she never buried some sons. So based on that, the Tosfos Yeshayahu says it must be that all seven of them all became Kohanim Gedolim under the same types of circumstances that we just spoke about. Meaning that Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, he was the primary principal Kohen Gadol, and then for a series of five or six Yom Kippurs, not necessarily one after the other, but spaced out over time, each one of those times he was not able to, because pink that time he became Tamei, and therefore his brother had to take over, therefore she had seven altogether.
Why is he known by his mother? It's unusual to be somebody to be known by the, especially a Kohen.
You're absolutely right. Apparently she was a great tzedekis, and that's why the Chum had asked her, Ma'osis Shezachis Lekach. Why didn't they ask the father, Ma'osis Shezachis Lekach?
Right, right.
So apparently she was a great tzedekis, and therefore they wanted to know what was her tzidkonis that gave her that tzchus to have these shivabanim. If you look at the Tos Yishanim on the right hand side, in my Gemara, yeah, it's the fourth wide line. Other Gemaras may be elsewhere. And the yeshiva wasn't available. That's why Yosef had to be there, etc. The hapshitah shle kavarsam midashavach havala mishavach havala. It's a double portion that she didn't have to bury any of them because she had to bury them. They wouldn't go and say, "Oh, you see, wow, oh, she buried children." Chasashom. So it must be that all seven of them served under these types of circumstances, where the regular kohen gadol for some reason was disqualified, and the others had to go and take over. Okay, so that's the Parsha Pshat. Now, based on this is a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara in Mitzvah, another 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to learn about Koyrach. And in the very first Pasuk, Ve'ikach Koyrach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kos, Ben Levi, V'dosel, Bira, Ben Eliyav, Ve'oin Ben Peles, Ben Ruvenu. Whatever, did we ever hear about Oin Ben Peles after that? And the answer is no. Why didn't we hear about that? See, Moran says in Masechta Sanhedrin that the wife of Oin ben Peles, she went and she saved the life of her husband. How did she save the life of her husband? See, Moran says that there was a dialogue. Oin ben Peles came home and they were eating dinner together, and Mrs. Oin ben Peles says to her husband, "Oin, where were you?" "I was just at a meeting." "A meeting with whom?" "With the Bnei Korach." "What were you doing there?" "Well, unfortunately, Bnei Korach are having a big fight with Aharon HaKohen." "Why are they having a fight?" "Because Aharon insists he wants to be Kohen Gadol. Korach insists he wants to be Kohen Gadol. And so therefore, I have joined the opposition group of the Korach people against Aharon." So she said to him, "What's so important?" She said, "Well, Aharon HaKohen is taking the Kohen Gadol for himself. And I want, it's not fair. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rav, and he should take the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, you know, it's a nepotism. And rather let Korach be the Kohen Gadol." So Mrs. Oin says to him, "Oin, don't be foolish. Either way, you're not going to be Kohen Gadol. You're neither Aharon, nor you're not Korach. So what's the point of all of this?" He says, "You know, you're 100% right, but I have no choice. I already promised that I'm going to go and join them tonight or tomorrow for the next Asifa, for the next meeting." She says, "I'll take care of it." So first she went and she served him a cup of wine, and then a second cup, and a third cup, and a fourth cup, and he drank, and he drank, and drank, and what do you think happened? He became so tired that he fell asleep, and she put him to bed. Then she went outside, and the Gemara says she took off her kerchief or her shaitel or whatever, covering her hair, and she sat there on her porch without a hair covering. A few minutes later, the Bnei Korach called to come by to go and call Oin. As soon as they see her sitting there on the porch without a hair covering, they say,
Macha Plata.
They all ran away, and they didn't even get close. And of course, as a result, Oin ben Peles survived. Question is, how did she realize, or how did she get that idea of taking off her hair covering to go and sit outside to scare off all the people? Who gave her that idea? So Shteitan Svarim, it's based on our Gemara. Because Oin could have said in response to his wife, when she said, "You're not going to be Kohen Gadol anyway," he could have said, "Yes, you're right, but guess what? Maybe our children will be Zocha to be Kohen Gadol. And if Aaron is going to get the kahuna, it's never going to leave Aharon and Moshe. It's going to always be theirs. Therefore, I'm on Korach's side, because although Korach will be the initial Kohen Gadol, maybe, if we're Zocha, our children will be Kohen Gadol." And therefore, Mrs. Oin ben Peles says, "I'll take care of that argument as well." Because the Isha Kimchas was Zoicha to have Kohanim Gedolim, because of her tznius in her hair covering, "I'll davka take off my hair covering." Nothing, you'll never have to worry about that either. Who says this? Pshat is here in my Yom HaShoah, and that's why I brought the Sefer along.
Maybe I'll take a picture of it.
Yeah, why? Because I figured you want to take a picture of it. Anyway, so it starts over here at the bottom and goes here at the top, so you might have to take two pictures.
They said that when he's standing on the throne, when he's learning, it says, Hashem Avis Ger, the Temple Lechem,
Haftus Ager.
What?
That says in the title. You don't need a gemara for that.
Continue. What's the pasuk? Hashem Avis Ager says though.
Lechem the simla.
Lechem the simla.
Right.
So the question is you know, what? He was very wealthy, so when he gives him lechem the simla, what's the big thing? I got plenty of clothing. I have plenty of what to eat. He says no lechem zu lechem upanim. Some of that back in the show, I can call it. So the point is that they'll marry into it.
Mm-hmm.
That is you'll have daughters who can marry, or granddaughters who can marry into the kahuna. So saying to here, Old Ben Pellis could say, because how is he going to get from Korach, who's a Levi, into it? So that sort of what he
so may I suggest something?
May shoot,
with your permission.
Shoot.
So one of the arguments I saw in a sefer I'm learning, Kama. Is it says that Korach's argument is you're look at the birth order of Kahus and yeah. And Amram and everything. He's citing that, and he's saying that he's saying to Aaron the way it works in terms of the birth order. The genealogy eludes me at the moment. But if you're going to always have the second born be the in charge, then I'm entitled to be Kohen Gadol. The way it works out, if you look at this sequence, and he gives the genealogy. Okay. So he's from Shevet Reuven. Mm-hmm. He's from Shevet Reuven. So it's totally that whole thing about who is entitled to be Kohen Gadol, since the Bechorim were originally supposed to serve, and now it's given over to Levim and Kohanim. There's this whole shift going on between the Bechorim, or the second in command, right? That's the argument.
Right, but of course, again, how's he going to transfer unless it's through marriage? And if it's through marriage, he could have gotten through Aaron as well. So I'm not sure what Od Ben Pellis was thinking.
He wasn't thinking clearly because he was persuaded. He was persuaded by Korach to join the Adas Korach.
Even under his story, with Korach getting it, he wasn't in line.
Okay, Mitchum versus Korach.
It was more an anti-Moshe movement than
the story your father used to say about the person who was go around from town to town and had his the only new Farsha Korach. Yeah.
Just,
anyway.
My glasses fell, just like his swallowed up part of Korach.
Ton of abundance. 7-8 lines at the bottom. The Yom Zokti Moravaitim. The Kumt, it says, now we are leaving the parsha of Chafinas Haktores on Yom Kippur for a moment, and we're talking about the halacha of Kemitzas HaMincha. Every time your person brought a carb mincha, not every time, not a koyin, true. A regular Yisrael was bringing a private carbon mincha. He brought at least an isorin of solas. The koyin would then go and put his three fingers into the solas and bring up a kemitza that filled up his three fingers, and that was what put a ridge ultimately on the maracha of the mizbeach. And the Gemara Dash, it says in the pasuk bikum tzoy. Where is the pasuk bikum tzoy? That's number four here. Vehira mimenu bikum tzoy shloyas idol akaydis. What happens if there was most of the kohanim had more or less the same size hands? Or maybe there was a particular kohen that was very handy when it came to kemitza. So they figured, you know what, instead of his every time having to put his three fingers in, let's go and measure it. And every time they measured it, came out to exactly 1 3/4 ounces. So let's make a teaspoon, which is the size of 1 3/4 ounces, and that'll be the share for the kohenim each time, and he won't have to kvetch with his three fingers. No, it's got to be big kumtza. Don't make a meal of kohenim. Oh, by the chafina saktoides, can you go and make a midah for that? In other words, have the kohen gadol in advance of Yom Kippur put his two hands inside the ktones, figure out how much that is, and now make a midah exactly that size, and therefore the kohen gadol won't have to do the chafina saktoides. He can just simply take that midah and scoop up with the midah the amount that fills up the midah, which will be the equivalent to his two hands. So maybe this doesn't apply. You could make a midah. Ella, it doesn't say bichom. It says malaychafnav. Keteris Samadaka. And therefore, loy. And therefore, this halacha of not making a mita doesn't apply. You could make a mita. Although the pasuk that we just quoted now says bikumtzai, but there's a second pasuk that says mikumtzai. Agamar doesn't go and quote it. I'm sorry, doesn't say. Yeah, it does say. Well, let's see, where's the pasuk? If you look at yalef malei tichsiv, if Rashi says krachrina, the comments misham meloi kumtzai. So here it says meloi kumtzai v'yikar beis, and here it says meloi chofnov. So learn meloi meloi, one from the other. Agzeir shalom. Istoshima. The kachoyisim midos. So it says in the Mishnah that we quoted above, that after the Kohen Gadol put his hands in, Gadol fi Gadloi, Katan fi Katanloi, Kachoi Samidasa. So doesn't that suggest, my love, Shemrotza Lasa is Mida? You can take out the word Acheres. Lasa is Mida Oisa. That suggests a Kachoi Samidasa that you could make a Mida in advance and do the Meloi Chofnov Shiur or measuring by using that Mida, and the Kohen Gadol doesn't actually have to put his hands in. Look, tomorrow, Loi, you have no right. Hachi kama could be the pshat in the Mishnah Zazai. V'kacha yechoyzer v'choyfna lifnim. Meaning, as we'll see in Mitzvah the Gemara shortly, that one of the most difficult melachas avoidus that was done in the base of Mikdash was that the Kohen Gadol, after he filled up his meloi chofnayim with Torahs, he went and poured that all into the kaf, into the ladle. That's pretty straightforward. But now when he gets into the base of Mikdash, into the Kodesh Kedoshim, and he puts down the machta that he's holding in his right hand, he has the ladle in his left hand, he cannot just simply pour from the ladle into the machta, which would be a relatively simple procedure. He has to go and take the entire kaf and turn it upside down and empty it out into his two hands once again, because the Torah requires it be meloi chofnov at the time of the burning of the incense. So somehow, in a very acrobatic way, he has to be able to turn over the kaf into his two hands and make sure that nothing spills out, and then take those two hands and pour it into the machta over the kecholim, so the incense should go up to Shemai. And therefore, that's what he means, the kachoyis midasa, that just like we started off by doing a chafinas akteiris, that's how we continue by doing a second chafinas akteiris, lifnim, inside the Kodesh Kadosh. If that's the pshat, says Yimar Shabbos Mino, then I can bring a raya to another shayla that I had. We're going to have a shayla Miyat Hashem on Sunday. The Gemara is going to ask, choyfin v'choyzer v'choyfin, or not? Do you have to do a second chafina inside the Kodesh Kadosh? Well, I have a raya from our Mishnah, because if you're telling me v'kachoyzer midos, it means that you got to redo it. No, it's a raya, the choyfin v'choyzer v'choyzer. The Gemara, no, Dilmashim Ratzalas is Mida, Oysa. Maybe Pshat in the Mishnah is the Kachoyis Midas, and if you want to make a Mida, even though you cannot make a Mida for a Komet for the Mincha, but you can make a Mida for the Chafinas Aktoiris, Oysa. So, Sukdrashi, what does the Gemara mean to say? The Gemara means to say, Loiha, Vloiha, Tipshat Mina, because I can push you off either way. Both Pshatim, the Lashon of our Mishnah, the Kachoyis Midas, both. The Lashon of Mishnah is susceptible to both explanations. You can say v'kachoyis midasa means you can go and fashion a midah which should be the exact same size and volume as the two hands for the chafinas akteiris, or you can say v'kachoyis midasa, do it the same way in the Kodesh Kedoshim, just like you did it outside the Kodesh Kedoshim by putting the two hands in. Back in the Kodesh Kedoshim again, have to go and spill it over into the two hands and fill up the two hands. So therefore, since you can learn it this way or that way, you don't have a raya to either of these two suggestions. Inami or nochabshat, when it says gachoyis midasa, shlo yachsev shlo yoyse. The Mishnah means to say is, make sure that you fill up the Kohen Gadol's two hands to the top, not over the brim, and not less. In other words, don't do it like when you're making Kiddush or Havdalah, that you have it go over or go over the top of the rim of the kas. Exactly flat, like the two hands, but also liyosim, and nothing less. That means the kachoyis midos. So, kibar, turn about. Loi kumtzai. By every carbon mincha, when the kohen is taking a kamitza from the soles, yochum avuritz, I might think there's also birutzen. Birutzen means that there's overflow, that he can take slightly more. Tamalim, no, be kumtzai. It's got to be what it's in the fingers, nothing more, nothing less. So maybe he can just take the little pieces that will fit on the Rashi Etzvoisev. That means not that he has to go and fill up the cavity of the three folded fingers to maximize the amount of kmitza, but rather take a symbolic amount. He takes his three fingers, puts them into the pile or the kli that had in it the mincha, and pulls up just a drop on those three etzbois, and then fold it over his fingers, and that's enough. Tamalay meloy kumtzoy. It's got to be full. Kirkamtzi imchi. Like people do a kmitza. How do people do it? Haketzet choyfish oshes boys or pieces yoder the kmitz that you go and fold over the three etzbois. And you put it into the mincha, into the solus, and you do a kmitza. We'll learn more about the exact way of doing the mechanics on the bottom of the Amid Beis in a few minutes in the after shop. Now that's if you're talking about solus. What happens if you're talking about machvas ubimar cheshet? As you know, there were four or five different types of karbonis mincha, and among them you had the machvas and marcheshes. Machvas and marcheshes are two types of pans or pots. Machvas is more like a frying pan, marcheshes is more like a deeper pot, and those are two ways of making a karbon mincha. The simple way of karbon mincha is you just have the solus, you just have the flour which is raw, but machvas and marcheshes means that it's already been processed. and it's fried, or it's been boiled, and now, or deep fried. And now you want to go and take a kmitza. Well, how do you take a kmitza? So the pasuk says, "Pasis oisa pitim." Is a machlokes in the Gemara in Menachos exactly what psisa entails? Pashup shat means you crumble it up, just like you have matzes. You go and crush them up, and you make matzah meal out of it. So you took the machvas and marcheshes mincha, and it's all matzes because kol menachis bois matzah, with the exception of
the lachmi toda,
as well as
the lachmi teres.
The pasuk says shtayim tiyena chometz teyachada, but otherwise everything else was matzah. So take the matzah and crumble it up and have matzah meal. That would be simple. There's one mandiyam, however, holds that you don't go and crumble it up, but rather you go and fold it. So apparently this was not our hard matzahs that we're used to today, but rather these were flexible matzahs, like a pancake, that you go and fold it, and you're supposed to fold it in two and fold it in four. He was up there?
Yeah, Rabbi Tenhazer.
Rabbi Tendler?
Rabbi Tenhazer's son in Rabbi Shapta Rapport.
Yes.
Old. You ever see in the Arab town, they have a piece of
pizza?
Not a very thin pizza, like you put on a kind of like a
wrap.
Like a lafia, it's
right. A very light, if you will, a very. He holds that, but whatever he holds, that's matzah. Most people.
Okay,
say, but nowadays, it's very flexible enough to be able to.
Beautiful.
If you ever put a pie of coin.
Very good. Beautiful. And which one are we referring to? So our Gemara tells us, Moichi begoidle milmalu ube etzboi ketana milmata. Since we're not talking about just flour, we're talking about this machvas and marcheshes mincha, it's more complicated. So when you fill up the three fingers, stuff is sticking out to the right and to the left. So you have to moichi begoidle milmalu ube etzboi ketana milmata. You take your thumb on one side and the pinky on the other side, and you have to wipe it back and forth a few times. Now, if you're talking about the first, that you really crumble it up into matzah meal, it's really not that much different than flour. However, if you're talking about the doubled it over and quadrupled it, like your lafa or whatever you want to call it, and you put it in your fingers, to go and remove that extra piece without breaking it off or taking a knife with the other hand, then that already gets a little bit more tricky. In fact, which case are we talking about? If you look at the toises, not the toises in the Amid Beis, it's the toises in the Amid Aleph. Slightly out of place. The last toises on the Amid. Svirulei! The last toises on Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. Svirulei command the Yomar, prepare Kelim Manoch, and show you Koifel Echel Mishnaim, Mishnaim Rabbah. Avatana Ben Shimon, the Yomar, Paisa, Mishmachzim, the Sultan. Ain't nobody to catch a Yoiz, Misham Manoch. It's no different than a Yonah Mincha. So therefore, it's going according to that Mandiyah. Okay, anyway.
So he goes down like this, or he goes, I don't remember from Menachos, he goes like this, or
that was, if you'll deal with us, I told you, Mitchell, okay. Learn on the bottom of the Amid. Says the Gemara Vayter, this is an avoid the question of Mitchell. Frankly, when Zuhi, the Sulay, there was no other Shver avoid the, for Ika Malika, doing Malika Sa'oif is very difficult. According to some, Malika Sa'oif was that you had to hold the oif in your right hand, and at the same time take your right thumb and insert it to the back of the neck of that oif in your right hand. See, your right hand is doing everything. That's a very difficult thing. You have to have a lot of dexterity, agility, all the other fancy words.
Long nail too.
Long nail as well.
Take 5 years. We were there somebody who was in case of Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt. He left his.
So there was a Rabbi Munk Zechariah Nevracha who was the Rav in Haifa, and he was a Kohen, and he had a long fingernail, a thumb fingernail. People looked at it askance. At Pasnish, you have such long. He says, yeah, because Meheri Bana Beis Hamikdash will be nobody else will be able to do the Malika because nobody else will have that long, sharp thumb fingernail like I have.
Did he practice the rest of it?
You can ask the children and probably send them a telegram and give them a call. You don't send telegrams, but I don't know. Back to the Gemara, Ve'ikah Chafina. Chafina was also a difficult malacha. We didn't mean to exclude anything else. We just meant to say this is one of the difficult malachas in the Mikdash. But of course, besides the kmitza and the pushing off on the sides of the machmas and macheshes, also the malika, Chafina, all of these are difficult. Amar Bichon Boy Rabbi Yeshua ben Uza. Bein habinayin shemloy kum tzeimal. Bein habinayin means what happens if in between the fingers some kmitza, some flour gets stuck. If you go and look at your fingers and you clench the fingers together, you'll notice that there's still spaces in between the fingers. So you can get in those spaces, you can go and get some solace. What do you do with that? Azoy fragt Rabbi Yechon, Boy Rabbi Shuman, Ben, 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 shemloy kum tzeimal. Amar Papa. Those parts of the soles which are leaning in the direction of the inside of the hand, no question, the vadi kaimitz. So that's going to be bottom right. To the kaimitz. The broi, if you have any specks of flour on the outside of the finger sticking out, the vadi shirayim. That's the shirayim. Put it back into the klifa shirayim. Don't put that as part of the kmitza. Kiti boilach. What the shayla is the baini baini. What happens if some of the flour gets stuck smack in the between the fingers themselves, not to the inside, not to the outside, midline in the middle? My, what do you do with those? Amri Yechanan Hoda Poshta Yeshua Ben Uza, the one that asked this question of Yeshua Ben Uza, he himself was poshted. Bein avinayim safik neno. Ah. It is a din of suffix. This is not really a poish. Poish means he's answering the shayla. He's not answering, he's just repeating the shayla. So it's a little bit difficult what the Gemara means to say suffix nino. So some say, poship shat, what he meant to suffix nino is that I tried figuring out an answer and I looked in all the svarim. I went through all the chuvas chasam soifet, chuvas of kiveiget, chuvas igris moisha, and I just can't find an answer. So therefore it remains a suffix. So that's one pshat. Another pshat is that suffix ninoid has a din of a suffix. When it has a din of a suffix, then inherently there's no way of being poshed it. And the mafoshim mingarayif and the benesh moshes. Benesh moshes is of course a suffix. Is it yoim or is it laila? But it's not that it's a suffix because we don't know exactly what's time and this and that. But that's a kodesh baruch is creating the bria sveikos, if you will. That is a benesh moshes. There's no way of being able to poshed that suffix because we're only humans. No way. Same thing is, that's the same type of suffix over here. No way of being poisoned because it's a physical thing that you have in between the fingers, a flower. No way of saying whether it's kmitza or shirayim. So what do you do? So Amr Abchanina, makter kmitz l'chudei. Techila, v'hod ben abenayim. You know what? Go and do two haktorais. First be makter the kmitza, the normal. In other words, empty out the kmitza in a new klisharis. Machloik, if you have to put into a new klisharis or not. But empty out all of that kmitza and put it on the mizbeach, and whatever the bena benayim, that little pieces in between the fingers, you'll make a second insertion or application, put it onto the fire of the mizbeach. So tomorrow, the amr is bena benayim bereisha. If you're going to go and say, why do you have to be in that order, the kmitza first, the bena benayim? Why don't you take bena benayim first? No, that doesn't work because doing shirayim nenu, probably shirayim shechosu be kmitza laktar, because maybe that's going to have the status of shirayim. Shirayim meaning what's left over after you take the kmitza, which is of course ne'achal likoyhan. So you're going to say, oh, nishkefer, you take the shirayim, and you're going to do the shirayim shechosru bein. Maybe the status of those specks of flour in between the fingers will have the status of shirayim. And if that's the case, if I'm going to burn that first, then by the time I do the haktoris hakmitza, I'm missing some of the shirayim. I.e. the shirayim that was just burned. Probably shirayim shechosu bekmitz laktorah the omer mar, and we learned in Masechtas Menachos shirayim shechosu bekmitz laktorah. If you ever have any shirayim which is missing between the kmitz laktorah, ain makdir aleinus the koymitz. You can't be makdir the koymitz on them. Why not? Because it says in the pasuk, "Vahanoiseres mina mincha li aharon ulavonav," and the Gemara dashes, "Vahanoiseres mina mincha," that the entire noiseres has to be intact, not missing anything. If it's chaser, I don't have that vahanoiseres mina mincha, no good. So if I'm going to go and burn even these little specks, I'm not going to have the full shirayim. The kmitza will not affect the haktoris. The kmitza will not affect the ability for the kaharim to eat it. It's going to be possible. So Dwari Haki, Hashanami, Ikrikan. If that's the case, when you do the burning of the Beina Binayim subsequent to the burning of the Kemitza, you have another problem. What's the other problem? We have another drasha. It says in the Pasuk, Ki chol se'or, chol devash, leisatir mimenu, isha l'Hashem. And the Gemara darshins, kol shemimenu li'ishem harihu bebal taktiru. What does that mean? That any carbon, not only carbon mincha, any carbon, where part of the carbon goes on the mizbeach, the rest of the carbon is an iser to put on the mizbeach. Meaning, what happens if I brought a carbon chatas, or a carbon shlamin, or a carbon asha, etc. Not a carbon oila. Oila is kula kal. All the other kabbanas where mimenu l'ishim, part of it goes l'ishim. What's the part? The aymerim go on the mizbeach. What happens to the rest of the carbon? It's ne'achal, either by the kahanim or by Yisraelim, depending on the carbon. Okay, what happens if I'm very, very frum and I'm very erlich and I'm very super tzaddik? And I say, you know what? Even though this is a carbon chatos, I don't want just the aymerim. I'm going to go and take a quarter of this carbon chatos and I'm going to go and put it on the mizbech. So you're going to tell me, you're not the balam, the kahanim of the balam. Okay, fine. I'm bringing a carbon shlam. The aymerim go on the mizbech. Chos v'shoy goes to the kahanim. But I'm going to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu a nice piece, a beautiful rib steak. I'm going to take from this carbon, I'm going to put it on the mizbech. So you think that you're doing a tzidkus? No. Kol shemimenu l'ishim, since part of this carbon goes to ishim on the mizbech, which part? The aymerim. Harihu b'al taktiru, the rest of the carbon, you're not allowed to put on the mizbech. You gotta eat it. So the same thing over here. If you have the shirayim of the carbon mincha, you're not allowed to put any of the shirayim on the mizbech. And you're taking the beina binayim, which theoretically is part of the shirayim, kosher metal ishan. Since I put the kmitz on the mizbeach, I'm not allowed to put the rest. Isur. Amr yudabered b'shem and pazi the makdalei l'shem etzim kreb lezer the signer blazer oimer l'reich b'chayi hatim alah tamal l'shem etzim. What the blazer says is, although this taka posik, like we just quoted, kosher metal ishan harihu b'bal tak tiru, however, says the blazer, you have an aitza. What's the aitza? The Kohen, when he's being maktir, the Beina Binayim, he says, Rabbi Nishalelem, we know from Rabbi Shua ben Uza'a that this is an unresolvable, if there's such a word, suffix. I cannot resolve whether this is Kemitza or this is Shirayim. If this is Kemitza, it's a good. Kemitza is supposed to be on the Mizbech. I'm putting on the Mizbech now. If this is Shirayim, then I have in mind that Mitatanai, that I'm not putting on Shirayim, but I'm being maktir Lishum Eitzim. Lishum Eitzim means for fuel, to put on the mizbech. Are you allowed to go and take shirayim, or for that matter, anything which is not wood, and say, yeah, I deem this to be wood? Says Rabbi Blazer, yes, you can. And Rabbi Blazer says specifically in our case, you could take a slice of rib steak from a karm chatas or a karm shlomim or whatever and put it on the mizbech, as long as you say the reason I'm putting it on is not because I want to go and devote another karm. I want this to be fuel for the fire. Lishum Eitzim. Now, where does Rabbi Lezer take this from? Lezer Oimel Rechichoy Chatamal Vatamal Lishum Eitzim. The pasuk after the pasuk that we quoted before, that Kichol Saar V'Chol Devash Leisaktiru Mimenu Isha Lashem, where Chazal take off Kichol Saar V'Chol Devash and they just darshan Leisaktiru Mimenu Isha Lashem Koshim Menu Isham Rival Taktiru. The next pasuk says right after that, Karben Reishis Takrivo Oisam Lashem Ve'al Mizbech Lo Yal Lareach Nichoyach, to go and put on the rest of the carbon on the marocha, the shumreich nichoyach, iatamal. That's what the Torah says. Bal taktiru, don't. If I told you, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, kaviyachol to Klal Yisrael, eat the carbon. Eat the carbon. Don't be from it. Don't come make naichumres and put it on the mizbech. Avatamal lishemaitzim. That you're allowed to do to make it for fuel. So that's a good eitzah. But Hanichal Rablazel, Rabban Ma'ikal Meir, Rabban respectfully disagree to this Reich Nichoyach Atamala. So what are you going to do with the rest of the flour? Amr Amari, the Kamti Shmeini, we're going to make sure that the ones that take the Kemitah are going to be heavy koyhanim, heavy in the sense that they have thick fingers, so that there's not going to be any residue between the fingers. The fingers will be able to clench the fingers together, no pockets, no crevices, no cracks. Everything is going to go on the mizbeach. So to Mahash Ashul Hachi, Reb Lezer, now the Chachilu the Kamti Shmeini. If that's the case, could Reb Lezer also? You don't have to do it with the Eitzim Eitza. Do the Eitza of going taking a coin that has thick fingers to make sure that you don't have a Bein Abinayim issue. Bein Abinayim Poshet Umochatz Upozer Bekoshem Bechamidu Kamerei Simon Boyer Papa. Brother Shai, please don't leave. We have to go and inform you.
Listen, I'm listening.
Okay, very good. Boyer Papa. Bein Abinayim Shemloi Chofdim Mal. What do you do with the Bein Abinayim Shemloi Chofdim? Now, here it's not a fingers question as much as it's an end of the hands question. In other words, you have to press the two hands together tightly so nothing should fall out of the ktoidus. What happens if you have ktoidus between not only the fingers, but between the two hands? In other words, the bottom of one hand and the bottom of the other hand, where they meet together to form two handfuls. Now, what do we do with that? Bein Abinayim. Remember, we had on the Yomid Aleph, one pasuk says, by the mincha, meloi kumtzai. The other pasuk says, the gabi ktoidus, meloi chofnav. If you're going to learn meloi, meloi. On the Yomid Aleph, we wanted to learn meloi, meloi, the gabi, whether you're allowed to make a midah or not. So tomorrow, soy bazoy, hainohach. So then, that's the same shaila as the Yomid Aleph. Just like we said in the Yomid Aleph, the only way that you're not allowed to make, assuming that you hold meloi, meloi, just like you're not allowed to make a midah for the soles, you're not allowed to make a midah for the chafina saktoides. So then say the same thing over here too. Just like over here, either you hold like Reb Lezer, or you hold like, I know if Reb Lezer is going to help you over here, but at least according to the chacham, where you have to have the thick fingers, you have to make sure that Kohen Gadol has thick fingers.
Hands, yeah.
Has chubby hands to make sure you don't have a problem. If you hold meloi, meloi. So what's the shail of Rav Papa? So tomorrow, Rav Papa hachi boyle. Rav Papa was asking the following: Melech chofnav vehevi beinan vaika, oydum b'lacha vehevi beinan v'aleka. So tomorrow, take him. What Rav Papa was bothered by was the following shail. It says in the pasuk for the Kohen Gadol has thick melech chofnav vehevi, and he brings it into the Kodesh Kadosh. There's no word over here by uns of bikum tzay meloi kum tzay. So the chayyeh. This halacha doesn't apply about the Bein HaBinayim. But the problem why there is a Bein HaBinayim, says Rav Papa, is because it said in the pasuk Vehevi, and the beginning of the pasuk says, V'lokach meloi hamachta gach liheish, Yalm lezbeach, and then it says, U'meloi chofnav keteris tapasam daka. So there's both a V'lokach feature at the beginning of the pasuk, V'lokach meloi hamachta, and there's a Vehevi at the end of the pasuk. So the question is, which is the key word here? Is it the Hevi word, or is it V'lokach V'Hevi? She's going to say, well, what difference does it make? Because the Hevi means that whatever I have in my hands, I'm bringing in. So if I have extra sticking in Bein HaBinayim between my fingers, between the hands, okay, the Hevi, I brought it. V'lokach, however, sounds like you take a deliberative, intentional act. The V'lokach that I am bringing into the Kodesh Kedoshim, V'lokach he has to take. You have to take Malay Machta, and you have to go and take Malay Chofnav. Now, those particles which are in between fingers or in between hands, those are not intentional. That's just the human body is such that there'll be a little piece of Torah sticking here and sticking there. So the question is, but that wasn't a Velokach. I didn't take it with the intention of take Malay Chofnav. It's just stuck there. So what is the Iker? Is the Iker the Hevi? The mice, I brought it. So whatever I bring, I put onto the fire in the Kodesh Kedosh. Or does it have to be Dafka V'loka V'Hevi, and therefore the Bein HaBinayim, I would not put on the fire. V'Haleka. So the more take, or the more Tishvi Yatar.
We have a principle, the Torah Lonit L'Machai Asharis.
Yeah.
This is not something that someone's doing subversively to I mean, this is something that someone's doing with the best good intentions, the best kavanah.
Absolutely.
Why aren't these small amounts batal? Why are we? Sometimes the Torah Gemara says the Torah no nit no malchay shareis. That's it.
Exactly.
And here, that's a court of last resort, but it has jurisdiction.
What the Gemara is saying is, Mirta Shem and Eliyahu Navi will come. He will tell us exactly how to do the Chafinas Sektarius. Unfortunately, by the time the Gemara was written, there were no longer any Kahanim Gedolim around for the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So we don't know what to what efforts did they have to go to address this issue. We know that Chafinas Hektoris already is a very difficult thing. Yeah. So you can go and say L'Nitnatern L'Machesharis. However, if you train them, as you said, for 5 years in Koyin school, presumably they can learn. So once we determine what the din is, Beina B'nayim, if we say that this is legitimate Kometz by a Mincha, legitimate Hektoris by Chafinas Hektoris, it won't be a problem. But if we're going to find out, in fact, we have to remove them. So presumably, just like the Kohen Gadol had to have this acrobatic, gymnastic experience to be able to do one of the Avoy discussion Mamigdash to make sure that every last drop came into the ladle, but not more and not less. So presumably, they would address this issue as part of that process.
And also, since the Ketores was, the Kmitza, it's Solas, the Ketores and the Chafina Ketores was Daka Min HaDaka. Mm-hmm. That's very, very that's very static. It's very fine. It sticks very, very easily. I don't think it was slippery and oil, it just fell off like it sounds like, given all the chemicals, all the materials that were in it, mm-hmm. it was probably moist, especially if it created this smoke and everything. So
why we would know people from the base of Tinas and find out from them exactly how they manufactured in such a way that the Kohen Gadol was able to take it annually, and every day the Kohen was able to take it on a daily basis. Amar Papa Pshitali Meloi Kumtzai Kinele Kamti Inchi. I know how Meloi Kumtzai. That's the way people do a normal Kmitza. Boi Rapapa Kometz Barashi Etzvo Isam Mau Melmata Lamala Mau Minetzadodim Mau Teiku. So Rapapa says, I know the way you do normally to Kmitza. My question is the following three, which are enumerated in the Gemara. So now, that means there are four altogether. So how do these four work? So we have to look in Rashi. Look at Rashi, halfway down the wide lines down below. At the end of the line, Kinem Kamsi Inchi, starting the next line, Sidoi Shel Etzbo Isam L'Matzah. That means a person goes and takes his hand, and he is now, his hand is perpendicular to the solas, and later on we're going to talk about the ktoris. So what means perpendicular? You put your hand straight down with the bottom of your hand down, and then you go into the solas, and as you go deeper and deeper into the solas until it finally covers your fingers, you clench the three fingers, and then you pull your hand out from that solas down below. It's a machloikus ha-meforshim whether or not the koyin who puts his hand in should already have his hands, his fingers folded over as he puts his hands in, so it's not just straight perpendicular line into it, but it's already a semi-folded hand. He goes into the ketores down below, not the ketores, the soilus, and he waits until the soilus pops up into his hand as he's lowering his hand lower and lower into the soilus.
Squeezes it through that cavity.
And goes into that cavity, and then he clenches his fingers. Or whether in fact it was totally open and he clenched his fingers only after he got into the soilus. Nishka nafkimina, it is a nafkimina, but that's the tub shotim about the kamtzi inch. And now the next question was barash es ba'oisev. What does that mean? So Rashi, pas yodoi, pas means the palm of his hands, lamata, downwards. V'tocheles v'oise v'soiles v'komat, koi mitsholem ha'shimile kol oirech pas yodoi. Ah! He put his hands down flat, with his palm downwards, not perpendicular like we learned before, but flat onto the soles. And as he gets into the soles, he now takes his three fingers, and he folds them over so that soles, which was previously touching his fingers from the outside, now he's clenching them so that the soles now is within the three clenched fingers or the folded over fingers, so now he has soles there in those three fingers. That's one shot. Umamal lamata, lamata lamala, which means, says Rashi, the other way around. Shehovach gav yodei lamata, he took the back of his hand and he put it lamata on top of the soles. The helak koim is Rashi etzvoizel terek pas yodei, and then he dug into the solus with his three fingers, going in an upwards motion. Right until now, the brush of its poison was in a downwards motion. He had his palm onto the solus, and then dug in three fingers, and brought the komets up. Here, it's the other way around. He digs in with his fingers, where the back of the hand is touching the solus, and now his swing
tunnels
down into it, and he brings the kmitza up into his three fingers, and then he clenches the three fingers and takes it out. What's min hatzad? Zot Rashi. Kolaymar שלוי כדרך המקומצין גב יוד למטה ולוי תוכם עצב אויסה בסוילס אלא מוילך על גב יודוי בדויחק והסוילס נכנס בפס יודוי דרך עצב אויסה.
That means like this, they spit like that?
I don't think so. It says מוילך על גב יודוי. גב יודוי means he takes the back of his hand and he pushes it down into the soilus, and he pushes it down with such pressure that the soilus starts coming up. Not that he starts digging with his three fingers into the soilus, he leaves the soilus flat, he leaves his hand flat, but he keeps on putting more and more pressure until his hand becomes more and more submerged and the soilus keeps on coming up. Remember, this is a container, this is not on the table. On the table you can push your hand down
and
just move over to the right and to the left. Here, by putting the pressure on, then the soda starts moving
you
up.
You displace it from below and it topples in.
Exactly. So you're displacing from below and it topples in and it comes into his hand now, and then he folds over his fingers. Is that also kosher? So all these cases take kotish b'yatarz. So now that we asked about the solas, amrapapa pshitali malay chofnav kim chafni inchi, same thing like Adam malay chofnav. So boy rapapa. Chofen b'Rashi etz osu. What means chafni inchi? Last Rashi. Chuda shel pasa yad lamata. Similar to the way we do the kmitza, meaning you go and take your hand, put it perpendicular to the ktores, put two hands, and now the chuda, chuda shel yad means the edge of the pasa yad, meaning the edge of the fingers, goes in a lamata, and then eventually he scoops it up with his two hands as the two hands reach into and go deeper into the ktores. So now, boy Ravashi, chofen b'Rashi etz b'oisa ma'u, where he put the palms down first, and that's the way he collected it together. Or he put down the back of his hands down and he went and dug into it and filled up his hands with the ktoris. Or minatzad mahu, or that last case that we had before, that he put pressure by putting his two hands in and put down, put pressure onto his two hands until all the, not the solus, but the ktoris came rising, because they were displaced by his hands. So now they rose, and they rose to the occasion filling up his hands. Mao, is that proper? Chofen bezu u bezu, v'karben zu eitzazu, instead of doing them both together at one time. He first did a chafina with his right hand, and then a chafina with his left hand, and then he put the two together. Mao, does that work? In all these cases, tish b'taretz. Kushes v'aboyes, have a wonderful day, a good Shabbos, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi David.
Thank you. Good Shabbos to all of you. Mitchum, see you all. Amir Hashem, 8:05 on Sunday morning.